Good evening, everyone. I would like to welcome you and call our meeting to order for Reedley City Council meeting for Tuesday, September the 25th, 2018. And our invocation will be given by Matt Harder, pastor at Reedley Mennonite Brethren Church, and the Pledge of Allegiance will be led by Mayor Pro Tem Bignon. Could we please stand?
Lord, we come before you this evening and we ask for wisdom. Your word says that if any man lacks wisdom, all we have to do is come before you and ask, and that you will give generously. And so I ask on behalf of the city council and those who are participating in this meeting that they would have your wisdom and discernment. We ask your blessing upon this city, that you would protect this city from crime and those kinds of things, and that you would be honored here by what takes place. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 Please join us in the flag salute. Ready? Salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
May I have the roll call, please?
Councilmember Beck.
Here.
Councilmember Fast.
Here.
Councilmember Pignon.
Here.
Councilmember Salino.
Here.
Mayor Bettencourt.
Yes. Agenda approval, additions or deletions, are there any?
There are none from staff, Mayor.
Okay, do I have a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Councilmember Beck.
Yes.
Councilmember Pignon.
Yes.
Councilmember Fast.
Yes.
Councilmember Salino.
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt.
Yes. Today we have three presentations. Our first one will be the Pink Patch Project, the Reedley Police Department. Chief?
Yes, good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the council, members of our community. Joe Garza, your Chief of Police. This evening, it's my pleasure to kick off a project that we are participating in. It's the Pink Patch Project. If you have not heard about it, this is a project that is utilized in for first responders, law enforcement, fire throughout the country. And this is the first year the City of Reedley Police Department is going to be participating. And what the Pink Patch Project, say that several times, right, does is that it helps bring awareness to breast cancer. Breast cancer, as we all know, is a very deadly disease, but I'm sure it's very curable, but we do have to find that cure. But the only way that we can find that cure is that if we as a community, we as a nation, come together and help fund to find the cure. And so what we are going to be doing as a police department is that our officers will, starting October 1st, will have the option of wearing a patch like this one here. And it is a pink patch. And again, and what that's going to symbolize is going to symbolize to bring awareness to breast cancer and what it does. And so we are doing that to help that part of it. And the other thing that we are doing is that we are going to be selling pink patches. Mm-hmm. And whatever money, and the Police Officers Association has agreed to purchase patches, and they have agreed to any of the proceeds that are made from the patches will be donated to an organization like the Susan G. Komen organization to help find a cure for breast cancer. Mm-hmm. The slogan that we have chosen for this is, let's get it off your chest and put it on our shoulders. So I have here patches that I will be giving to each of you as a city council members. Mm-hmm. Our officers or anyone who purchases a patch, and the minimum donation that we ask is $10. Of course, you can donate as much as you want because it's all going to be going to a great cause. The patches that each person who donates will be given a card, business size card, that has kind of the logo on there and it has our motto on it. Mm-hmm. And you will be able to write I'm donating on behalf of or in memory of whomever. And the card along with your donation will be taken to the organization, again, like Susan G. Komen, and given to them so that they will know that City of Reedley is supporting breast cancer awareness. Mm. So I am going to be presenting each of you as a city council members one of our patches.
Thank you, Chief, for doing that.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's great. Thank you.
Yes. It's very nice. It's a nice way to know that we need to be aware of it. Yes, it's really important.
Absolutely. You know, and I know it does impact, you know, one of the things I do tell our officers is that, you know, everyone has a mother, everyone has maybe some sisters, everyone has friends that are female, and they all can be impacted. So this does impact all of us at one point or another. I know me personally, my wife, her family, she has two aunts and her grandmother who have been impacted by breast cancer. And so it is very, very near and dear to me as well. So again, all I ask is our community. There is a limited number of patches available. So the more that we can collect for that limited amount is all going to go for a good cause, because all the proceeds will go directly to one of these organizations.
Very pretty.
So thank you very much. Yes, ma'am.
That's a question. Will you have those available at the Fiesta at like your little booth?
We will have them out there with our explorers, and okay. Also we will have a booth next to the police department with our explorers and our canine.
Okay.
And so that will be available there as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Our second presentation is the introduction of Blanca Santana, Coach of the Year. Sarah Reed, Community Services.
Thank you. Good evening, Honorable Mayor, members of the Council. Sarah Reed, Community Services Director. The Community Services Department is very happy and proud to introduce to you the 2018 Coach of the Year. But before we do that, I just want to share a little bit of history about this award. It started in 2012. As you know, Community Services offers a variety of sports, basketball, volleyball, Tiny Top football, Junior Giants, and we work with many amazing coaches who make these programs happen. And one way we felt to recognize them was to really look for the coach that stood out for the year. The things that we look for are positive image of coaching, developing their players in life skills, confidence, leadership, stressing the fundamentals of the game and the importance of good sportsmanship, and going above and beyond what is expected for a coaching role. So Ruben Castaneda, our recreation coordinator, he works very closely with these coaches. So I would like to give him the honor of introducing this year's coach. Ruben.
Thank you, Ms. Sarah. Good evening. Good evening, Madam Mayor, members of the Council, Ruben Castaneda Jr., Community Services Recreation Coordinator. At this time, I would like to invite to the podium Blanca Santana. It is with great pleasure that the Community Services Department would like to recognize Blanca as our 2018 Coach of the Year. Blanca has been coaching for the city for about 5 years. I had first the privilege to work with her early in my career during our youth baseball season. Then after that, Blanca kind of disappeared a little bit. She came back after about 3 years after that and has been doing an amazing job. She's been coaching consistently for our girls volleyball program and has been a great role model for the girls. Blanca has also been a coach for our junior cages program. That program's a little bit more fast-paced. You know, you need a coach that kind of can keep the cool when the pace is going fast. You know, some of you council members have been out there for our basketball games and you can see how intense it gets. So Blanca has been able to keep her cool under tough conditions. Blanca has also coached our Junior Giants program. She did a fantastic job teaching the children the different components of Junior Giants, along with teaching the fundamentals of baseball. Blanca has been a great coach and a great role model for our youth of the city. So at this time, Madam Mayor, members of the Council, I present to you Blanca Santana, our 2018, and our first female Coach of the Year.
All right.
And so I would like to read the plaque. It says, City of Reilly Community Services Department, Coach of the Year, Blanca Santana, 2017-2018. Thank you for your commitment to serving the youth on this day, September 25th, 2018.
Congratulations.
Madam Mayor, if we can take a picture, please. Mm-hmm.
You know, folks, in the sports program, if you're a coach, it's not that easy to control the parents. I've done it for 36 years, and it's been tough. When you have an individual like this, he comes forward and is volunteering. Wow, that's great. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Our next presentation will be a Fire Prevention Week proclamation. Chief?
Good evening, Mayor, members of the council, members of the public. It's that time of year again when Fire Prevention Week is going to happen, and it will happen October 7th through the 13th. And so in that week, we also have our open house on October 11th. So I'd like to pass forward some flyers. The purpose of Fire Prevention Week is to mostly educate our public about fire safety, how to escape out of their house, how to make an evacuation plan, make sure they have working smoke alarms, stop, drop, and roll, those types of things, all important for safety in the household. And an interesting thing that I read today was that the first Fire Prevention Week proclamation was made in 1925 by President Calvin Coolidge. And his proclamation stated, "This waste results from the conditions which justify a sense of shame and horror. For the greater part of it could and ought to be prevented. It is highly desirable that every effort be made to reform the conditions which have made possible so vast a destruction of the national wealth." That is very profound.
So true.
So, in acknowledgement of the upcoming Fire Prevention Week, I would like to introduce three of our fire explorers I have here tonight: Chantel Torres, Gabriel Hernandez, and also Elias Seja. And they will be reading the proclamation for us tonight.
Whereas the City of Reedley, California is committed to ensuring the safety and security of all those living in and visiting Reedley. And whereas fire is a serious public safety concern both locally and nationally, and homes are the locations where people are at greatest risk from fire. Whereas home fires killed 2,735 people in the United States in 2016, according to the National Fire Protection Association. And the fire departments in the United States responded to 352,000 home fires. Whereas the majority of U.S. fire deaths, 4 out of 5, occur at home each year.
Whereas the fire death rate per 1,000 homes fire report to U.S., the fire department was 10% higher in 2016 than 1980. And whereas Reedley's residents should identify places in their home and where fires can start and eliminate those hazards. And whereas working smoke alarms cut the risk of dying in report homes fires in half. Whereas Reedley's residents should install smoke alarms in sleeping rooms outside each separate sleeping area on every level of homes. And
whereas Reedley's residents should listen for the sound of smoke alarm, and when it sounds, responds by going outside immediately to the designated meeting place. Whereas Reedley's residents who have planned and practiced a home fire escape plan are more prepared and will therefore be more likely to survive a fire. And whereas Reedley's first responders are dedicated to reducing the occurrence of home fires and home fire injuries through prevention and protection education. And whereas Reedley's residents are responsive to public education measures and are able to take action to increase their safety from fire, especially in their homes. And whereas the 2018 Fire Prevention Week theme, "Look, Listen, Learn, Be Aware, Fire Can Happen Anywhere," effectively served to remind us that we need to take personal steps to increase our safety from fire.
Therefore, I, Anita Betancourt, Mayor of Reedley, do hereby proclaim October 7th through the 13th, 2018, as Fire Prevention Week throughout this city. And I urge all people of Reedley to be aware of their surroundings, look for available ways out in the event of a fire or other emergencies. Respond when the smoke alarm sounds by exiting the building immediately, and to support and participate in the many public safety activities and efforts of Reedley's Fire and Emergency Services during Fire Protection Week 2018, dated September 25th, 2018.
Hey, folks, can we shake your hand?
Thank you for being willing to serve. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Good job.
And we look forward to the open house. It gets bigger and bigger every year. The kids look forward to it. Thank you. Okay, we'll move on to our public comment. Provides an opportunity for members of the public to address the City Council on items of interest to the public within this Council's jurisdiction and which are not already on the agenda this evening. It is the policy of the Council not to answer questions impromptu. Concerns or complaints will be referred to the City Manager's office. Speakers should limit their comments to not more than 3 minutes. No more than 10 minutes per issue will be allowed. For items which are on the agenda this evening, members of the public will be provided an opportunity to address the council as each item is brought up for discussion. Are there any comments from the public? Hearing none, we'll move on to consent agenda items. Consent agenda items are considered routine in nature and voted upon as one item. Under a consent agenda category, a recommended course of action for each item is made. Any council member may remove any item from the consent agenda in order to discuss or change the recommended course of action, and the council can approve the remainder of the consent agenda. A council member's vote in favor of the consent agenda is considered and recorded as a separate affirmative vote in favor of each action listed. Motions in favor of the consent agenda are deemed to include a motion to waive the full reading of any ordinance on the consent agenda. For adoption of ordinances, only those that have received a unanimous vote upon introduction are considered consent items. Are there any items that the council wishes to remove?
I'd like to remove item 5, please.
Are there any comments from the public? Okay, do you have a motion for the other items?
Move to approve the remainder.
Second.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Pignon?
Yes.
Mayor Betancourt?
Yes. Item number 5, approval of items pertaining to property procurement and design and engineering services for TCP treatment facilities at municipal water wells 12, 13, and 14 for fiscal year 2018-2019. Number A, approve and authorize the city manager to execute a real estate sales agreement to procure property located at 1148 11th Street in Reedley for water treatment facilities for municipal water wells 12 and 5. B, adopt resolution number 2018-080, amending the 2018-19 adopted budget to appropriate $68,000 for the procurement of property for TCP treatment facilities for water wells 12 and 5 from the groundwater treatment fund. Number C, adopt resolution number 2018-081, amending the 2018-19 adopted budget to reappropriate unused 2017-18 funds in the amount of $349,192 for design and engineering services for TCP treatment facilities for water wells 14, 13, and 12 from the Groundwater Treatment Fund. Public Works.
Good evening, Madam Mayor, City Council. I'll be happy to answer any questions you might have on this item.
I don't really have a question. I was just wondering if you could share with the public where this money, the groundwater treatment fund, came from, and that we will be using that fund to do the treatments of the water.
Yeah, we did have a some TCP contamination within a couple of our wells here in the city of Reedley. We did identify a responsible party for that contamination, and legal action was taken against the responsible party, and the result was a settlement that we set aside in a fund that can now be used to treat the TCP that's in those wells.
Thank you.
Are there any questions from the council? Any questions from the public? If not, do I have a motion for item 5?
I'll make a motion for item 5A, B, and C to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Fast?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Pignon?
Yes.
Councilmember Cirino?
Yes.
Mayor Betancourt?
Yes. Public hearing. Ordinances with respect to the approval of ordinances. The reading of the title thereto shall be deemed a motion to waive a reading of the complete ordinance, and unless there is a request by a council member that the ordinance be read in full. Further reading of the ordinance shall be deemed waived by unanimous consent of the council. Number 98, Rod.
Thank you, Madam Mayor, members of the council. Do you have the clicker by chance, Sylvia? Before you tonight, we have ordinance number 2018-006, which consists of a change of zone application number 2018-2 and environmental assessment number 2018-10. See if we got this working. There we go. The project location is actually two APNs located on Reed Avenue, both immediately south of the Riverwalk Shopping Center, just north of Rhodes Oil. As you can see from on the map right here, the area that is circled in orange, and it is approximately 2.62 acres in size. What we're looking for tonight is reclassification of the subject property, which currently is zoned light industrial, or ML, and we are looking to change that to CC, or central and community commercial zone district. The land is currently vacant. And commercial activities that are similar to those found right now in the Riverwalk Shopping Center proposed for that area, and in fact an expansion of the Riverwalk Shopping Center. As stated, the existing zoning is that of light industrial, which is currently inconsistent with the Reedley Municipal Code Chapter 25 matrix based upon the proposed project. As such, the proposed zoning is consistent with the General Plan 2030 planned land use designation, which is central and community commercial. So the proposed zoning will then, the proposed zone change would then bring it into consistency with the Reedley Municipal Code Chapter 25 matrix based upon the proposed project. The planned land use designation would be that of community commercial. The overall guiding land use principles in the general plan help determine what is and what is not appropriate when you're considering any type of zone change of this nature. Reclassification of this nature does address 9 general plan land use element goals and policies, all which are supportive of the appropriateness of this rezone application. We did not list all 9 of them here on the presentation, but I would note that all 9 of those goals and policies are listed within the staff report. So for the zoning designation change, currently from ML Light Industrial to that of CC, Central and Community Commercial, as stated before, pursuant to Title 10, Chapter 22, a change of zone requires both Planning Commission recommendation and the City Council approval to approve any type of change of zone application, which is what we're doing here tonight. Change of zone noticing, of course, does have requirements, so public hearing notices were published in the Reedley Exponent on August 23rd, 2018. That was for the September 6th Planning Commission meeting, and also on September 13th, 2018 for tonight's City Council introduction of this item. Notices were also mailed to the surrounding property owners on those same dates. No comments were received on this item prior to either the Planning Commission date or tonight's City Council date. Associated with this project, an environmental assessment 2018-10 was conducted, and staff has indicated that no new effects could occur or no new mitigation measures would be required as a result of the implementation of this change of zone application. The reason behind that is because the general plan has this designation as community commercial. So this change of zone actually brings it into consistency with the general plan, meaning that the environmental analysis that happened on the general plan for the 2014 general plan actually looked at that as this being the appropriate use, the community commercial. So therefore, bringing it into consistency with that would not require any additional environmental analysis. That said, the Planning Commission and staff unanimously recommend that the City Council take two actions tonight. First, to hold a public hearing on the introduction and first reading of Ordinance 2018-006, which is an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Reedley approving change of zone application 2018-2 and authorizing the amendment of the official zoning map of the City of Reedley. And item two, to receive environmental assessment number 2018-10, a finding that no new environmental document is required for this project, and that analysis was dated August 30th of 2018. That concludes staff's presentation, and I'm happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Rob, one of the things I'm looking at this, and it just occurred to me, part of that property, was it a ponding basin at one time?
That is correct. Okay. Yep, the front, roughly front 30 or 40%.
Okay. Now, in dealing with CID, because we didn't have enough ponding basins on this side of the river, does this have any effect in the future?
Great question, and very fortunately, no, it has no effect whatsoever. This was a temporary basin in regards to the development that occurred, and so one of the conditions of development years and years and years ago,
right,
was that this would exist until they tied in. So this, it's always been known, would eventually be filled in, that basin, and would be rezoned to something more appropriate for the location. So it has no bearing on CID whatsoever.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Great question.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Question I have, is this initiated by the developer or by the owner? How does this process begin?
This specific one was actually initiated by an interested party to place a project there. However, staff was immediately supportive of the item because of the inconsistency already found between the zoning matrix and the general plan. So that would have been one of those items given the time and resources. We would love to be able to address every single inconsistency that there would be. This one in particular is being driven by the potential interest for a project at this time.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any more questions? There's not any more questions from the council. I'd like to open the public hearing and ask, is there any comments or questions from the public? If not, we'll close the public hearing. Does the council have any more comments before we make a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Salino?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Pignon?
Yes.
Mayor Bettencourt?
Yes. Number nine, introduction and first reading of ordinance number 2018-007, an ordinance of the City Council of the City of Reedley approving change of zone application number 2018-3 and authorizing the amendment of the official zoning map of the City of Reedley. Ellen.
Thank you, Mayor. Good evening, members of the council. Ellen Moore, Associate Planner with the Community Development Department. We do have another ordinance before you this evening for a different change of zone application, number 2018-3. This is kind of on the opposite end of town. The project location here is 1656 South Button Willow Avenue, which is in the industrial area of town. The project has street frontage on three sides by Olson Avenue, Button Willow Avenue, and Huntsman Avenue. The property is approximately 3 acres in size, and it is bounded by that kind of orange dash line that you see right here. So there is some space for potential expansion on the property, but right now it does have a 12,500 square foot building that was built in 2006. The existing zoning on the property is MP, which is planned industrial. So this property is one of the many properties that are kind of that are more of the lighter shaded purple that you can see on the map right here, that were part of the Southeast Industrial Area Specific Plan, which was adopted, I believe, in the 80s, if I remember correctly. And so this plan has since been incorporated into the general plan. So now the document, the specific plan document, is not used. So now for potential or future development, we would rely solely on the general plan and the zoning, the current zoning ordinance that we have. So this does mean that any new potential businesses or someone that would relocate here would have to look at our Chapter 25 matrix in Title 10 of our Reedley Municipal Code. And so we do have an interested business owner. The business is Turbo Spas. They're from Southern California. It's a hot tub and spa manufacturing business. And so they are interested in this property, but right now, the planned industrial zone district is more restrictive. There, what basically means there are not a lot of uses that are allowed in that zone district, including this one. So the proposal is to change the zoning to have it be a light industrial zone district designation, which does allow more industrial uses. So the proposed light industrial zone district is also consistent with our general plan, because right now it is classified as a light industrial zone district. So we're kind of changing from one zone district to another to make the proposed use more compatible with this property. And we have to determine whether it is compatible with surrounding areas as well, which staff does believe that it is. So if the property is rezoned, then that proposed business is a by right use in that zone district, so they can move in and operate at that location. So as mentioned, staff does have to determine appropriateness and compatibility with surrounding land use designations, and that the proposed zone district is one of the zone districts that is allowed under the general plan. So all of these findings can be made for this property. And in order for the change of zone to take place, we go through a couple of steps. One has already been completed. The Planning Commission unanimously recommended this change of zone application to the City Council at their regular meeting on September 6th. And I do want to note that September 6th meeting was duly noticed in the paper. 10-day noticing is required for that, and it is also required for this meeting tonight. So the public hearing notice was published in the Reedley Exponent on September 13th, and notice was mailed to surrounding property owners. So property owners did get two letters regarding this project. And there were not any comments received prior to this meeting this evening on this change of zone application. Moving on to environmental assessment number 2018-14. This is the same determination that we made in the last change of zone application. Because the general plan designation is not changing and we're trying to maintain further consistency with the general plan, the program EIR had addressed all of the potential effects and mitigation measures. So staff has determined that no new environmental document or mitigation measures are required as a result of this change of zone application. With that, staff's recommendation is to hold a public hearing and introduction on the first reading of ordinance number 2018-007, which is an ordinance that would approve change of zone application 2018-3 and officially amend the zoning map of the City of Reedley. And also, staff recommends that the council receive the environmental assessment number 2018-14. That concludes staff's report. I'll be happy to answer any questions that you may have.
Any questions from the council?
Ellen, the planned industrial zone, mm-hmm. is that for large industrial businesses compared to the light industry?
Yes, there is a minimum lot size of 5 acres for planned industrial for that zone district. But I think that because other surrounding properties were zoned the same, it could, I think it, the intent was for it to apply to multiple properties, and then the specific plan had a list of uses as part of that that could be allowed in those areas that were zoned correctly. But because that plan doesn't exist anymore, then we don't have that list. And so now, if you have the light industrial zone district, you don't need a list because it's already in our code.
Right. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
I have a question. Mm-hmm. I see on the second page of our report that the neighbors that are around there, it says that on the north, east, and west sides, it says existing industrial development. Are there businesses already on those sides, or are they vacant lots?
There are existing businesses. If I can go back real quick to the aerial image here. So across from Button Willow is the Georgia Pacific property. Yeah. And then they do have, there's an existing business directly adjacent to it.
Behind it.
Yeah. And then across the street as well. Yeah. I think, is it Bravante? I think is across the street to the north. They have that little shop on the corner. Yeah.
And is this Mexico down here?
Yeah, I think Maxco is next to it. Yeah, and this is where the rail to trail or the Reedley Parkway is right here. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know where that's at. Okay. I just couldn't remember. I didn't drive over there today to look, so.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Right.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
There was another business there previously.
Yes, I think it was Flexco Technologies, I think it was. Yeah. Okay. I think it was another light manufacturing.
Uh-huh. They didn't stay there very long, did they?
I don't think they did, uh-huh. No. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
No? Just a comment saying I'm glad there's someone's coming in to take that. Yes.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yep, staff is very... That, yeah. Yes, staff's very supportive of the project. We're happy to see a new business in Reedley.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, this is a public hearing, so I will open it up to the public. See if there's any comments or questions from the public. Hearing none, I'll close the public hearing. And any more comments from the council before we make a motion?
Motion.
Second.
Council Member Beck?
Yes.
Council Member Pignon?
Yes.
Council Member Fass?
Yes.
Council Member Salino?
Yes.
Mayor Betancourt?
Yes. Thank you, Ellen. Number 10, adopt resolution number 2018-076, approving and authorizing the submittal of a community development block grant application for program year 2019 to 2020 to the County of Fresno. John, City Engineer.
Thank you, Mayor Betancourt, council members. The resolution and item before you tonight begins the application process as required per the agreement the city has with the county for expending an annual set amount which the city receives of CDBG funds. The city's elected to use this set amount of funds within the specific eligible area that I think we've seen is contained in the staff report, rather than entering into a competitive process each year for the selection of a project. We use these set funds for these certain locations throughout that particular area. The selected scope of the project that we're proposing is for the installation of sidewalk along Justine Avenue and a minor road widening and sidewalk extension along Sunset Avenue. Both these sidewalks connect to a walking path that's adjacent to and leads to Grant Middle School. And along with the project, curb ramps will be installed, and as required, necessary modifications to driveways at particular homes will also be required. The project was selected from the three-year plan that was established by council in March of 2017, and is the second project of the three projects that were for the three-year program that we have with the county. This meeting is a public hearing where the
community has an opportunity to voice their opinion for consideration of the on approval of the project being funded with CDB program. And so this gives the people opportunity and council an opportunity to discuss the project in its entirety and move forward with the application process. So that concludes staff presentation. I can answer any questions you might have on this project.
Are there any questions?
It'll be a great improvement to that area. That's for sure. Yes.
Wasn't this on the books quite a while back, Safe Schools route that we lost out? We lost the funding for that at one time on Sunset, I know.
Right. I don't know about it particularly, but
yeah. It was would a concern be a, that there was no walkway through for the kids.
Yeah, and exactly. I'm glad to see this get back on the books and get underway. So.
So is that sidewalk just going to be on the east side, or is it going to take part of the park?
On Justine or Sunset?
On Sunset, I'm sorry. On Sunset.
It would just be on the east side to connect to the existing sidewalk and then go up to, yeah. Okay.
Any more questions?
Yes, I just have. Okay, so that sidewalk on Sunset would be only on the east side. How about the sidewalk on Justine?
That would be a full, around the full, both sides, and the full cul-de-sac. And then connecting to the line, the trail that's at the very north end of that cul-de-sac.
Yeah, you realize that that's just a one block street, and that does not go, it's not a through street to anywhere.
Correct, but it connects. There is the walking path that is adjacent to Grant Middle School. There is a connection to that neighborhood, right at that location, and we're building sidewalk from this road to the south.
Springfield.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Up to get to the connection with the path, and then ultimately to the school.
Personally, I just think it's kind of a waste for that particular street. Because the only cars that really come there are the people that live there, and it's a really wide street, and I don't see a reason for putting sidewalks along there, for sure not both sides. I mean, I could see maybe one side, but I think there's a lot of other places that are more thoroughfares that would be in the CDBG area that could use a sidewalk, and I think we should put our money there rather than on Justine.
The discussion we had quite a while back that Bob just brought up on Justine was because there was no thoroughway for the kids. And I think, I know Mary's saying that, you know, we're looking at safety for the kids. Mm-hmm. That's the important part.
And I understand that. Me too.
Right. So, I don't understand why we couldn't do that to protect the kids, get them off the street and on the sidewalks.
I have a question.
Yes.
On Springfield, from where the Sierra View homes are, on the south side, up to Sunset Avenue. There's no sidewalks, and that side that's used. There's a lot of traffic that goes through there, and it's just that little section right there that doesn't have sidewalk. It would be nice if there's some way to include that, and that would complete that street, because there isn't. It's just a little section, but there isn't any sidewalk on Springfield.
But there is on the other side of the street.
Yeah, on the other side. Uh-huh.
Crossed by the apartments, yeah.
But not on that side. And there's apartments right where that section is. I think there's two groups of apartments on that side, right there without any sidewalk.
Okay.
We can take a look at that and see if we can maybe leverage some additional funds to do it with the project, if that makes sense or not, and we'll get back with you and let you know.
Yeah, it would be, I mean, if since we're so close by and it would complete that, I think it would be nice to complete that.
You know, I think that was also included in the Sunset, the other program.
In the other one program?
Yeah, uh-huh. It seemed like Springfield and Sunset was in the other.
Yeah, and it's not a big section, but I mean, any little thing costs money.
Sure. Yeah.
But I mean, it's not the whole street, but it's.
As the city manager said, yeah.
A lot of traffic with the kids walking home, you know, also from school.
We can definitely look to see. I don't think we can make it part of the eligible for CDBG funds, because that this is the application that we're submitting and having the public hearing for that areas identified. But if the area, we can definitely look at it and see if we can add some additional Metro C funds to include that as part of this project. Okay. Include it with it.
Yeah, I'd rather see that, because that is a thoroughfare and cars go fast along there.
Mm-hmm. So we can definitely take a look at that and see if we can add those in.
So, is there any more comments from the council? If not, I'll open it up to the public, because it is a public hearing. Are there any questions or comments from the public? If not, I'll close the public hearing. And if there's any comments from the council, do we have a motion?
Move to approve.
Second.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
No.
Councilmember Pignon?
Yes.
Mayor Betancourt.
Yes. Thank you, John. Okay. Administrative business. Approval of items pertaining to a successor memorandum of understanding with the Reedley Police Officers Association. A. Approve and authorize the city manager to execute a 2-year memorandum of understanding between the City of Reedley and the City Police Officers Association. And B. Adopt resolution number 2018-075 of the City Council of the City of Reedley, adopting master salary tables for all employees of the City of Reedley.
Please. Thank you, Mayor. I'll go ahead and take that. I'm very pleased to present the council tonight with a successor MOU for our Police Officers Association. As the council knows, we've been in negotiations. This year was our negotiating year. We have MOUs that expired with both of our units. GSU ended up being negotiated and finalized prior to the end of the budget year. POA, however, went a little longer than expected. However, this has been an extraordinarily tough year for negotiating. Part of the reason for that is the city itself right now is not so fiscally challenged, but we see that in another year or two, with the pension crisis hitting us, we're going to be extraordinarily challenged. And so we're actually negotiating this agreement with the future years in mind. And so it's very hard to sit at a table with a group and say, we're not going to give you anything, even though we have some money in the bank account, because we're looking a year or two down the line. We really, really knew this would be tough. And I have to say that Paul did an absolute bang-up job negotiating this. It got very technical with last best and final offer, some really complex labor issues involved in that. So Paul and Rob Terry was involved on the negotiating team, and Darla always sits on the negotiating team. Just a fantastic job. On the other side of the table, though, I will also say that Isaac Martinez, Gary Kincaid, and I'm going to forget her name now,
Mireya,
did fantastic for the POA. Again, it's a tough year to negotiate, and so they were trying to really do the best for their members and then understand where we were coming from. I think that's why it took a little longer. They then had to go back and relay that very complex message to their group. So I do want to give a very heartfelt thanks to the Police Officers Association for working with us. We now all can take a little bit of a breather, because this MOU will cover a 2-year period, so it'll go into 2020. That's consistent with what we did with GSU. A lot of items that are in this are small wording items, so I'm just going to highlight the biggies, and that is we did offer them their choice of either a 1% COLA or a 2% cash stipend. They opted for the 1% COLA. We will be seeing in year two a 2.5% increase for the sergeants. We did a small little salary survey and thought with compaction issues that made sense. We are looking at a records specialist increase of 5%, also given some small salary survey items that we did. Those are the only changes in compensation overall. There are some other ones, though, that are, the intent was to make them consistent with other groups. So life insurance is going up slightly. Vacation buyback will change somewhat. And again, that makes those provisions consistent with both the unrepresented group and with GSU. So overall, this, again, has been a very tough year for negotiating, but this was the last of the items that needed to be completed, and we could all take a little bit of a breather and see what the future has to hold for us with our pension crisis that's coming up, with everything else we're seeing coming down from the state. So with that, we have two items for your approval, the actual MOU and then the master salary table that incorporates these changes for those positions.
Any questions from the council? Comments?
I have a couple of questions. The first one is on page 2 of your report. It talks about take-home vehicles.
Mm-hmm.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that and how maybe that's changed?
Yes. So take-home vehicles has been an issue in our police department for, since I came on board 7 years ago. And our officers would very much like to be able to take their vehicles home. For some officers who have specialty equipment in their cars or they are going up to court and they happen to live in Fresno, something like that, we make some concessions and allow them to take a vehicle home on occasion. However, for most of the sworn staff, we do not allow them to take their vehicles home. And you can imagine what it would look like to have a Reedley PD car sitting in a North Fresno neighborhood or something like that. In addition to just the odd look of that, there is wear and tear on the car that we have to pay for, additional insurance issues, all sorts of stuff. However, we do recognize that for those employees, sworn employees who live in Reedley, it does make quite a bit of sense, and it does make an impact in a neighborhood when residents can see that their neighbor is a Reedley PD officer, take-home car. So we are putting into the MOU that at the discretion of the chief, officers who live within the city can take their vehicle home. Again, everything is at the discretion of the chief, and we really want to make sure that that language stays in this MOU and subsequent MOUs, because a take-home vehicle program, there are some real peculiarities with them, as we find out from watching what's happening with the Sheriff's Department and some others. And my favorite one is every time I drive into Kingsburg, there's a big old Selma police car right there at the city limit line, and I just don't think it looks good to the public. So that is what that provision is about.
Okay. Now, on the take-home program now, wasn't there a radius that we had established quite a few years ago? The take-home program in the city limits, that was fine, but anybody within a certain amount of radius outside the city limits, it was approved at one time.
Is that for, I don't believe that's for take-home. I believe that's for proximity of residents so that they can be back to work within a certain period of time.
And I don't know why it's like a 5 mile or 8 mile or whatever.
No, the provisions was for the residency. They would have to live within a 30-minute response time to the city of Reedley, not a take-home vehicle. The take-home vehicle program has always been primarily for those officers that live within the city limits.
Okay.
And I know we've had multiple discussions, at least as long as I've been on the council, about the take-home vehicle and about that issue. Yeah.
Now, again, I do want to make it really clear in case people who are outside of Reedley see a Reedley police car. We do have some very specialized equipment that some of these officers have, and in particular our canine officers, where those cars are set up specifically for the canines. They have special air conditioning, cages, et cetera. Those officers with the canines are allowed to take those cars home wherever they live. And then some other specialty equipment occasionally that we have in cars. And so it could be that you get a call about seeing a Reedley police car at a residence somewhere else, and there's probably a reason for that, so let me know if that becomes a concern.
Mm-hmm. Another question that I had was on the actual MOU itself on page 6 and item 8D, where it talks about the union dues and correct me if I'm wrong, but it says the city agrees to deduct association dues for employees covered by this agreement when authorized in writing by the individual. So my question is, are union dues mandatory to all of our officers, or can they choose to opt out?
So as of this past summer, with what was called the Janus decision, all employees of a union are eligible to opt out of paying dues. So, in other words, we will have an MOU, but if let's say some officer decides they don't want to pay dues, they don't want to really be a part of the union, they do have the ability to notify us in writing, notify the union in writing, and they can opt out of paying. It's a very controversial decision. What the state of California did, because all of us were watching this around the nation to see what the Supreme Court would do, the state of California passed a bill the same day as the Janus decision that prohibits employers, public employers, from notifying their employees about some specific provisions and from trying to sway their employees to opt out. So we do not contact our employees to let them know they have an option, they don't have to be a part of the union, anything like that. We do provide the union information and the dues deduction card with a new employee packet. That's part of that. It's completely up to the employee. If we do provide any information about the Janus decision or related items, it has to first be approved by the union and the city in negotiation. So it becomes very, very difficult. As of yet, I do not believe we have any employees who have opted out. I'm going to look to Paul and see if I can get a heads up on that. No employees have opted out of the...
Since the decision.
Okay. But again, there really are some very specific provisions in place right now about notifying employees.
Okay. So, thank you.
Any questions or comments? Any questions or comments from the public? If not, do I have a motion? Do we do this separate, A and B?
You can do them together.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, thank you.
So move.
Second.
Councilmember Cellino?
Yes.
Councilmember Beck?
Yes.
Councilmember Fass?
Yes.
Councilmember Pinon?
Yes.
Mayor Betancourt?
Yes. Okay, council reports. Councilman Salerno?
No, I don't have any.
Councilwoman Fest?
I had a busy couple of weeks, and I'll try to make it really brief. I attended the League of California Cities meeting in Long Beach on behalf of our city, and they celebrated their 120th year of the League of California Cities. I thought that was pretty impressive. Items that kind of stood out to me, a couple of different things I went to. One was about the Cadillac tax that is coming for, I'm sure, our city at some point, which I'll get some more information, Paul, to you about. Medical insurance plans that are above like $11,000. For the year are going to be taxed, and the cities will have to pay for those taxes. And it may not catch us right at first, but as our tax or our insurance plans increase, I think it will catch us. And had a very good presentation on that, and I downloaded that so that I'd make sure our city could get that. Also attended the 20th anniversary party for Townsend, who does looking for our grant writing. Some of the other issues that a lot of different people were discussing was homeless, seemed to be the key topic this year. Harassment in the workplace. Couple of the kind of interesting sessions I went to were, one was on flex work schedules, like flexing to do like early mornings maybe, and or later in the afternoon into the evenings type of thing, working at home, those kind of issues that might be something we may want to look at for the future. Also, another section was about succession planning for soon-to-be retirees, and I know we've talked about this at length a couple of times here in our city. So that's something that we need to make sure that we're looking into. Also attended, on the 20th, attended our Kings River East Groundwater Sustainability Agency. And we have collected about 60% of the build fees for setting up this organization. And that was pretty good so far. Another item that we need to be watching is SB 998. It's been sent to the governor to sign, and it's a bill that says that public municipal water supplies cannot shut off water to a resident. If they don't pay, they still can't shut off the water. So we need to be looking at that and seeing what. I didn't actually look into the bill, but our attorney brought that to my attention. Also attended Good Morning Reedley at Allstate Insurance and met Ribbit Doe the Frog. And we talked about Taste of the Town that's going to be this Thursday and the Fiesta. And there's a lot of excitement and some fun things going to be happening for the Fiesta this year. So I hope you all get to come to those two events. Also attended Rally Day at Emmanuel on Saturday. And on Sunday, Chapter 1 Preschool had their 35th anniversary, and they had a lunch at the church for those that attended, and that was kind of a fun event. My kids went to Chapter 1 years ago. And now my grandkids go there, so I guess we're coming around again. Also enjoyed the Kings River Life magazine article by Lori Hamm, who interviewed our distinguished city manager. And her topic was, what does a city manager do? And if you haven't read that article, I encourage you to read it. It gives a good insight on what our city manager's job is and the great work she's doing for us.
Thank you.
That's all that I have. Thank you.
Don't have anything.
Yes, I do. Thank you. I attended the fire department's badge pinning a couple of days ago, and what a group of newbies you have over there. What a great addition to your team. I was real impressed by how you challenged them and the advice you gave them. And you had their full attention, there was no doubt. It was impressive to be there to see all the men in uniform and men and women. And I really appreciated that. It was very well presented. And I mean, it was, everything was set up, you know, the big ladder truck and all the other equipment, the vehicles. But thank you so much for doing that. I'm very impressed with your unit and your leadership. Thank you very much.
Okay. I couldn't believe you've been with us for 7 years.
Yeah.
Has it been 7 years? My goodness.
I know, time flies.
Uh-huh. That was a very good article, though. It really was. And also, I met Ribbit. Roberto, that was fun when we did that video.
Oh,
uh-huh,
yeah.
And got presented.
I saw,
uh-huh,
yeah.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. It's going to be neat to have that. Mm-hmm. We have our mascot. I didn't realize how many mascots we had in Reedley.
Who knew?
My goodness, they kept coming in and coming in.
And,
and
apparently
gosh,
we even missed a couple is what I'm hearing. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Uh-huh.
No, but it was really good. And so we had a Reedley Health Forum with at the community center yesterday, and the champions from Moms put it in and put it on and helped with the Fresno County Public Health. And it's called the, and also the Department of Education was part of it. And they did a presentation on eating healthy for our community. And they learned about the current health issues that we have here in Reedley and about the activities. And also ideas that they could make the community different. Like if there were things in their neighborhoods that needed help with, or one of them was lighting, that they talked about the lighting in some of the neighborhoods. And we had a dance group and a Zumba presentation, and it was a very nice forum. Really enjoyed it. And I want to thank Sarah especially for really supporting our Champion for Change moms and helping us put that forum on for them. They really appreciate it. And it's a program that they have for moms that it's a leadership program, and I can see the years coming how much leadership they've taken and taken on things. And it's been really good because they are Spanish speaking, most of them, and they feel intimidated by that. but they're really coming along. And when we have people like Sarah that, you know, opens the door for them and gives them all these opportunities to get involved, they really appreciate it. So it was really good. Thank you. Okay, I think that was it. Is there anything else? Not?
Okay, a few things for you, Mayor. Chief and I had the distinct pleasure of being in Monte Vista School the other morning and speaking to all of the special education students there at the school with Officer Cardinale, too, by the way. The most fascinating speech I've ever done, ever, and I think the chief can, it was so cute. It was unbelievably cute. What really amazed me, though, the reason I bring it up, if you've not been to Monte Vista School lately and seen how they're using technology with the special education students, it's really phenomenal. And these students just light up with some of the robots that talk for them and ask questions. And it's just really amazing the technology that's there for them. And each student is so very different in their needs. And yet this whole school is able to educate a population. Mm-hmm. Officer Cardinale, Chief Isaac, fantastic in working with the kids. Dr. Arambula, Assemblymember Arambula, showed up about midway through and spoke to the kids. He did a speech in Spanish, and you could see the kids kind of light up because they thought that was so neat. The rest of us have no idea what he was saying, but it's okay. They liked it. It was interesting that it got a little political in there, too, and I was wondering how many of the kids actually understood what he was saying, but it is what it is. So anyway, it's Monte Vista School. If you haven't been there, I would really urge you to go through there. It's phenomenal, and their leaders there were really great. Chief Isaac and I also will be in Madera tomorrow attending an emergency management training session. So if you need us, we'll be in Madera, and hopefully we'll come back with some good things. But as we saw from the emergency we had yesterday, our folks are on it. They know what they're doing. Our CNG garbage truck, which is no more, unfortunately. But our folks knew exactly what to do, from the driver who knew not to get too close to the buildings with that thing, to the police agencies, to the fire department. What an impressive display of skills, abilities, and knowledge of how to deal with something like that. So makes my heart feel good that our folks are so well trained and know what to do. This coming Friday, we do have a mural unveiling down on the trail by the Lock and Leave storage. So if you're available at around 9:30, PG&E funded this mural, and so they will be here. Really neat mural. A business owner that's on the trail that was having some issues with graffiti had approached us a couple of years ago, actually, and that's when we approached PG&E to see what they could do. So I'm eager to see the mural, and it got us all thinking about more mural ideas. And so the Chamber's meeting with me on Thursday to go over some locations and some ideas, along with some artist ideas for some more murals, because as you know, artwork like that keeps the graffiti vandals down and really enhances a community. I think you can see that by going to Exeter and Kingsburg and some other places where the murals are all over the town. A couple other just real quick things. The Workforce Development Board did come and meet with me this past week. We have a new local representative who'll be working with us. I was very happy to hear about some of the specialized training programs that they'll be reaching out to our businesses to offer. So that really seems like they want to focus in on the local areas rather than just Fresno and Clovis, and I really appreciate that. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, Reed Avenue. Don't take Reed Avenue. And if you're taking Reed Avenue and you're unhappy, you don't need to call me because I already know you're unhappy. So Frankwood has been impacted by a couple of other things that came up on the same exact day. That's usually how it goes, right? So we tried to fix some of the signal timing and some other issues that happened yesterday with Frankwood. Should move a lot smoother. However, we do know that Reed Avenue is a nightmare. We got it out. I counted today that we got it out in 10 different ways to our community. So if a community member doesn't know about Reed Avenue, they're not paying attention. So
they will if they drive down it.
I even had a text message at 6 a.m. this morning from somebody saying, are you going to provide me a helicopter to get around? And I have to kind of grit my teeth and say, no.
They could have come with me to Long Beach last week.
Pretty bad, eh?
Oh, my husband was about ready to pull my hair out.
Chief, I think we may have a situation on that one.
So.
Yeah. Do that's any staff have any updates? Okay, I believe that's all then, Mayor.
Right.
Okay.
Well, everybody have a nice evening.
Yes, adjourn the meeting.